recording now?
We are.
Okay. All right, so Killer Pillow Talk, episode 4. It's time to do it.
Part 2.
So is it episode 4, episode 3, part 2?
Episode 4.
Okay.
Or 3B.
3.5?
3.5. Yeah, Shrek 3.5.
Yeah. That sounds like the name of a porno.
3.5?
I don't know, Shrek 3.5. I feel like that sounds like a porno name. I don't know. Maybe I don't know why I thought that. Anyway, silly me.
Kind of works with Far Far Away. What was that called? Shrek Far...
Ever After?
Forever, yeah.
Anyway, So two weeks ago, I don't know when it was. I'm trying to be better about getting on top of
last podcast.
The last podcast.
Right.
We were talking about H.H. Holmes.
We introduced the murder castle.
Also known as William, no, not William. Why did I get William from? That's not his name.
H.H. Holmes.
H.H. Holmes.
Which of course stands for William.
No, it doesn't.
Which of course stands for William.
His real name, H.H. Holmes, a.k.a. Herman Webster Mudgett.
Or William Mudgett, yes.
La-di-da-da. Born in, 1861, New Hampshire. Went to school, graduated, went to medical school for some reason only for like 1 year. It was
made good. A kid made good.
Very smart. Graduated medical school.
Mudgett boy.
Did a lot of work on anatomy.
Really took the name and ran with that.
He was also a big con artist. He defrauded life insurance companies I don't know exactly how, but like it was something about using dead bodies, cadavers, and like saying that.
Didn't he sell the parts?
Claiming that they. I don't think so. Not that right away.
Yeah.
Anyway, so got married.
That didn't end well.
Several times.
Yeah. None of those ended well.
While he was still married to the first one, he was moved to Philadelphia for a brief period. And then got caught up in a disappearance of a young boy, and then moved to Chicago and
ruined my hometown.
Started working in a pharmacy, and then eventually took over the pharmacy and made it into his murder castle.
Ruined Chi-Town.
Which was a pharmacy on the he bought a vacant lot across the street from the pharmacy, then started construction on it. There was the first floor was a pharmacy and like storefronts, and then the second floor was apartments, and the third floor was supposed to be a hotel but never got finished.
No, that's what we're all picturing when you say murder castle.
Well,
a
that
pharmacy,
was what it was.
Apartments, and a hotel.
Yeah, so he had several relationships with young women that mysteriously disappeared, and we don't know what happened.
The relationship or the women?
Both.
Ah.
It's assumed that he murdered them, but there was no body found, so you can't really, because he, as we were talking about last podcast, and then what the cops found when they actually
searched the digs.
There were several hallways that led to nowhere, secret passageways. Some rooms were made into makeshift gas chambers where there was pipes that would go into the room and suffocate people.
Oh.
There was vats of acid and lye in the basement for him to cremate bodies. And there was also a crematorium down there so he could cremate bodies and sell the parts if he wanted to, bones or organs to medical research, because that's his big thing, was mostly scamming people out of money, which is why all those women went missing, because he had all his employees that lived there or worked for him had to take out life insurance policies with him as the beneficiary.
Seems dubious.
Yeah, he wasn't a good guy. He's not a good guy. Anyway.
But the police discover his murder castle.
Yeah, so they discovered in 1894, police officers inspected the murder castle while Holmes is out gallivanting around, having a good grand old time.
Yeah, watching the show Gallivant.
I don't know what he's doing. And then they found the soundproof rooms with the hinged walls, the forced partitions, connected, like I said, by secret passages, the airtight rooms that were connected to pipelines filled with gas, which he used as makeshift gas chambers. And then a lot of the rooms also had like chutes that would go right down into the basement, and like, so they'd like, there'd be a chute where you could just like dump a body and it would land in a vat of acid and then like disintegrate.
This might be the wrong thing to say, but I would kill for a soundproof room because it, this building is so noisy and we have to record so much stuff.
Right.
What?
Yeah, that is true. Anyway, so, and then if two wives weren't enough, and on January 17th, 1894.
Let's face it, they're not.
They're not. You need at least three.
Right. Make it good. Third time the charm.
Exactly.
I was going to say make it an even number, but go on.
That's an odd number, but yeah, sure. On January 17th, 1894, while still married to Clara and Myrta.
Clara!
He married Georgiana Yoke in Denver, Colorado. I don't know why he's in Denver, Colorado. I don't know how he got there.
But that was like he did that on a yoke. That was a yoke, right?
Yes, it was a yoke.
Egg on his face for marrying her.
Am I right? Yeah, he married her. So in July, I'm guessing like this is, I don't know how far after the police like raided his murder castle that he decided to leave Chicago. And but there was also like a bunch of insurance companies like inspecting him for arson that he was trying to like claim insurance money. And I guess.
So there were insurance companies. Did he have any kids?
Yes.
You're getting that?
He has, no, I did. I told you that before.
Oh.
I told that last time. He has two.
With different women?
Different women.
All right, so there's, one of them, this is what I was getting
one
at.
Of them became a school teacher, and the other one, I think, became like the, something, right. Like, not the general manager of Florida, but something like
that. No, the general manager of Florida. It changes every day.
I don't know the
mayor.
Actual thing, the name of it. It's not like the mayor, but it was
changes
like,
every day. The new person's a general manager of Florida. What that was a crocodile.
No, I don't know what it is. I'll have to look it up later. Hold I didn't on. Write it down because I felt like that wasn't super important, but there was a fun fact. His one son became like a...
The general manager of Florida.
Like the county seat of Florida.
A Florida GM. All right, anyway. One, no, here's the funny part. This is the wordplay I was trying to get at earlier.
Mm-hmm. Like the Department of Assembly. Like
you're like, uh-huh. No, yes. This is new. You haven't heard of this yet. The police are investigating him for arson.
Not the police.
Oh, sorry.
There is an insurance company investigating him for arson. The police are investigating him for a number of other things.
Insurance company don't have badges. They're investigating him for arson. He's got a couple of wives who would be investigating him for our sons. Our.
He only has one son, as far as I know. The other one is a daughter, I believe.
Yeah, it took too long to get there, and it didn't pan out.
Yeah, it didn't. That was really.
Long way around.
It was a long way around for not a lot of payoff there.
I'm sorry.
All right, so.
Anyway, so I'm quitting my job, and I'm going to become the general manager of Florida.
Okay, well, I don't know if you remember last, I mentioned this a little bit last time, but while he was living in Chicago, he met this woman, remember the one-time actress, whatever her name is?
Yes, the one-time actress.
I have to look, what is her name again? Minnie Williams. Minnie Williams, yeah.
That's the Williams.
Well, she, remember, she signed...
William...
And she Me signed too. Over her property in Fort Worth, Texas to H.H. Right. Holmes.
Fort Worth.
Because he convinced her to do that because, like, this is a good idea. And she's like, okay, I love you.
Properties are bigger there.
There's something like that.
Everything's bigger there.
And then so they moved into an apartment in Lincoln Park and they're presenting themselves as a married couple. And then Minnie's sister Annie came to visit them.
Shout out to Lincoln Park.
Yeah. And then.
Oh, Annie visits.
And then both Annie and Minnie disappear. So, when he leaves Chicago at
Annie
some time...
Annie and Minnie disappear?
Both of them. So, it's assumed he killed them. I don't know Yoink. If he actually did. But that's what happened to them. So, then in July of 1894, he left Chicago and he moved to Fort Worth into the property that he inherited from
That's Minnie. Like straight south. Just
yeah.
Down the country.
And while he was there, he was planning to build like another he was probably planning to build another murder castle.
Well, because what's better than one murder castle?
Two murder castles,
right.
By swindling his suppliers yet again, you know, getting work done and then not paying for it, you know, that whole thing.
Let me try to get inside the mind of William Holmes. You would, if something worked the first time, if the swindling works, don't fix it. If it ain't Baroque, don't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
This is where things get a little bit complicated. I don't know.
Things were already complicated.
It gets more complicated. as if it couldn't get more complicated. In July of 1894, he was arrested for selling mortgage goods in St. Louis, Missouri.
What? Now,
I don't know how he got from Fort Worth, Texas to St. Louis, Missouri, but I guess
when
he was...
You put those words together, I don't know what you're talking about.
What?
Selling mortgage goods?
Mortgage goods. I don't know what that... mortgage goods.
It just said... All right.
I don't know what that means. I maybe like...
I'm going to think it's like tiny houses. Someone's paying off
home loans on them. Or tiny maybe houses. They're on layaway and...
tiny dog houses.
Like maybe they're stolen from a mortgaged house.
Oh. Yeah, I still don't get it. Go on.
Anyway, but then he was bailed.
Right in. If anybody is listening to this, write in and prove that you're there and tell us what...
Tell me what mortgage goods are.
That's your homework.
Find out what mortgage goods are.
I'm not going to look it up because I don't give a shit. But tell me what it is. I just want to see that someone's listening.
Okay.
First person to do it gets a dollar on Venmo.
Or that's it better because that's money.
A dollar.
Dollar bills, yo. I thought you said this podcast was supposed to make us money, though.
We're going to start at a loss.
Okay, great. This is going so well.
Okay.
So while he was in, for that very brief period of time before he got bailed out, he met this guy named Marion Hedgepeth.
Man?
Yes.
I'm
assuming it's a man.
Marion. Back then, Marion would have been...
Marion is just a gender-neutral name.
Back then, Marion would have been more of a female name. Oh, man, I'm thinking of Marianne.
Marion. M-A-R-I-O-N. Marion. It's kind of like those men that are named Shirley or something weird like that.
You can't be serious.
And don't call me Shirley.
You're supposed to say, I am serious.
I am serious and don't call me Shirley. Sorry.
There we go.
Sorry. Anyway.
So, Marion Hedgepeth.
Hedgepeth.
That's what I said.
Hedgepeth was serving a 20... Stop it. Hedgepeth was serving a 25-year sentence. I don't know why. He just was.
20?
25.
Right. To life. Yeah.
25 years. Maybe he killed someone. I don't know.
Probably.
Holmes enlisted his help in finding a quote-unquote trustworthy lawyer so Holmes could carry out another scheme to take out an insurance policy on himself, and then he was going to fake his own death so he could collect the $10,000 of the policy. The whole big thing.
Convoluted, but I'm into it.
Yeah. So Hedgepeth was promised a $500 commission, and in exchange he gave H.H. Holmes the name of Jephthah Howe.
Okay.
Jephthah Howe.
I didn't realize I was gonna go here. Okay. All right. I was so convinced that Hedgepeth was the worst name.
We got some duties.
Okay. So you're
Let's not forget what is his mother's name again?
Oh my God, Heathcliff Obiqua.
No, Theodate.
Heathcliff and Theo are. From my favorite show.
His father's name is Levi Horton, and
No, I've been to a Levi Horton's.
Theodoric Page
Canada,
Price.
In Canada, remember we did the Canada episode? I've been to a couple of Levi Horton's. They're good.
All right, anyway, back to where
okay,
we were.
Okay, you, and you coughed?
I said Jephtha.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I'm right, yeah, you coughed.
Was
yeah.
in practice with his older brother, Alfonso, who had no...
That's fine. I'm actually okay with Alfonso. Quaron.
Who had no idea of his brother's involvement with Holmes and Pinizzo, which is, remember that other guy that he met in that bank?
I do not, but I'll take your word.
All right, well, it when in Chicago, while he was working at the chemical bank in Chicago, I think it was, he met...
That's the name of a bank.
He met this...
Chemical
yeah,
bank.
Yeah, he met this handyman named Ben Pinizzo, and they like teamed up.
Oh, Pinizzo! I remember Pinizzo.
They teamed up together to like do like scams and stuff. So Pinizzo is like involved in this too, mm-hmm. somehow. And Jephtha
rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know how else to pronounce it. It's J E P T H A.
Kind of falls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Thought Holmes' scheme was brilliant.
It kind of hits the tongue and bounces off.
Jephtha? Anyway, he thought Holmes' scheme, like, to, you know, take out an insurance policy on himself and then
brilliant.
Take his death and then take and then get the money
brilliant.
From the insurance policy was a brilliant idea.
A+.
But the plan eventually failed because the insurance company got suspicious and refused to pay.
And Jephtha probably died.
I don't think Jephtha...
Jephtha?
Jephtha doesn't seem very smart.
I
don't know. He is a lawyer, but I don't know how smart he is. He doesn't seem to be the brightest bulb in the
No, he's got good taste. He thought that plan was brilliant.
Mm. Obviously. So instead of pressing the claim with the insurance policy, H.H. Holmes made a new plan with Pinizzo, who agreed to fake his own death so his wife could collect the $10,000 on Pinizzo's life insurance.
Why are we faking our death?
I don't know. This seems to be like the best idea. They're like, Pinizzo's going to
turn of the 1900s.
Fake his own death so his wife can collect $10,000 and then they're all going to split it three ways between Pinizzo, Holmes, and Jephtha Howe.
Turn of the 20th century, the biggest craze sweeping the nation is faking your own death.
Okay, and this is all supposed to take place in Philadelphia.
No, why is he back in Philly?
I don't know.
Get the fuck out.
He's back in Philadelphia. And
I realize they are the city of brotherly love, but this guy deserves no brotherly anything.
All right, well, definitely not. But so Pinizzo, the scheme was Pinizzo was going to reinvent himself as an inventor named B.F. Perry, who would end up disfigured and killed in a lab explosion.
Well, it makes sense that an inventor would reinvent.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So,
That's on brand.
Holmes's job in all of this was to find a cadaver that he could disguise as Pinizzo for the insurance company. So eventually when he does fake his own death, they would like be like,
kind
oh, yes, this is his body. He's
kind
dead.
Of a Weekend at Bernie's
type. It's that sort of situation.
Yeah.
The problem was, instead of finding a cadaver, Holmes later confessed that he killed Pinizzo by knocking him out with chloroform and then setting his body on fire using benzene.
Cadaver? I hardly chloroform.
Yeah, he collected the insurance payout using Pinizzo's actual corpse and then got Pinizzo's wife to put three of their five children.
I mean, listen, if you were given a choice between bacon and turkey bacon, you would take the bacon.
I don't get what you mean by that.
His actual corpse.
Okay.
Is the real thing.
And that's bacon?
That's the bacon. Because it brings in the bacon.
Okay. Sure.
I went somewhere with it. All
right, I don't know what the motivation for doing this, but he got Pinizzo's wife.
Money.
Yeah, but he got Pinizzo's wife to put three of her five children, of her Alice, Nellie, and Howard, in H.H.'s custody. And
really thought you were going to say up for sale.
No.
I was so worried.
And so she gets to keep her eldest and her youngest child, but the middle children all go with H.H.
Yeah, no, that's a fun story. The bookends.
I don't know why she agreed to this. It doesn't sound like a good idea.
Again, money.
Yeah, but so Holmes traveled throughout the northern U.S. The northern U.S. and Canada with these children while escorting their mother on a parallel route using various aliases and lying to Mrs. Pitezel about the whereabouts of her children and her dead husband. So he's like stringing her along saying like, oh, your husband's fine. He's just like, you know, out of the country or whatever. Yeah, lying low because he's dead. You know, he's pretending to be dead. But it'll be fine. You guys are all be reunited soon. And while all that was going on, he was also staying at another location with his wife. I don't know which one, because there was several. So, I'm probably the third one.
It's like a horror movie Miss Doubtfire situation.
Yeah, and she had no idea this was happening, so that's great. He has, like, random children stashed somewhere, and then he's living with his third wife, and then he's also stringing along this lady who's like, where's my husband and children?
You know, the problem is he's involved way too many people in his life.
I don't know why this all happened.
It was like, he must love...
I don't know what the point of that was. He must simultaneously
love and hate people.
And unfortunately, the children do not fare too well in this situation.
What?
So I was like...
Wait, why not?
I'm getting to that. After H.H. Holmes was arrested, he confessed that he murdered Alice and Nellie, the two girls, by forcing them into a large trunk and locking them inside. And then he drilled a hole in the top and put a hose in that and was hooked up to a gas line to asphyxiate them.
Oh.
And then he buried their nude bodies in the cellar of his rental house in Toronto. Yeah. And so there's this Philadelphia police detective, Frank Geyer, was assigned to this case, and he's the one that found the decomposed bodies of the two girls. He went to Indianapolis, where H.H. had rented a cottage, because there were reports of Holmes buying drugs at a local pharmacy Indianapolis. But, like,
drugs at the pharmacy or drugs?
Drugs at the pharmacy that he used to...
Like a Motrin or something.
Yeah, so he bought, I guess, prescription drugs or, like, over-the-counter drugs at the pharmacy, and then he used that to kill the little boy, Howard Pitezel. He was also seen in Indianapolis, I take it, at a repair shop sharpening knives that he used to chop up Howard's body before burning it in the Holmes fireplace.
Well... There's nothing worse than a dull knife, and that's all.
So this is the only, like, proof that they have on him killing anyone, because...
Yeah, recently sharpened our knives here. There's nothing worse than a dull... You use it every day.
So Geyer found remnants of the boy's teeth and bones in the fireplace of the house that H.H. was renting.
Yeah, that stuff doesn't burn.
So he was on the run for a while, and then finally on November 17th of 1894, Holmes was tracked to Boston by Pinkertons and arrested on an outstanding warrant of horse theft from his brief time in Fort Worth.
Oh.
So after all that, he gets arrested for horse theft.
Because he couldn't keep his damn hands off of a horse. In Texas. What was he doing with a horse?
I don't know. He apparently stole a horse while he was in Fort Worth at some point, while he was trying to build his other murder castle. So the girls' bodies, the daughters' bodies were found in July of 1895. And the Chicago police and reporters at that time investigated the murder castle in Englewood, but there was no substantial evidence that was found that could convict Holmes to any of the alleged murders committed there.
Of hiding...
Yeah, he had a real good job, and he also, like, the thing is, most of the bodies he probably either sold as, like, you know, to medical schools and stuff as, like, cadavers or whatever, so they didn't have, if they did have, like, any, he'd, like, take apart the organs, sell them to, like, or, like, the bones or whatever, and sell them to, like, medical schools and stuff like that, so There wouldn't be any.
Do we take any comfort in knowing that the bodies went to science? Or
I don't know. It's pretty rough. No?
It's pretty rough.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Thought I'd ask.
In October of 1895, he finally goes to trial and for the murder of Benjamin Pitezel. And.
All right, because he murdered the Pitezel guy.
Yes. And he confesses to that after he gets arrested.
Oh, good.
So that's how they got him on that. And I guess they probably also have the testimony of his Pitezel's wife being like, he took my children and, like, you know, fucking absconded with them for no reason.
And my husband's just with him. Is that right, detective?
I mean, I don't understand why he took those children. Like, I don't understand what the end game was there for. Like, why he took three of her children away from her for no reason. I think it was
a psychological mind game.
I'll
leave you with the young one and the old one. You can't have the middle.
It was very weird. Anyway, I guess it was like a way to like control or maybe silence like the wife or something. I don't know.
Yeah, extortion, blackmail, literally kidnapping.
Yeah, I suppose so. So, he went on trial and he was found guilty and sentenced to death. And at this point, it was also evident that he had murdered the Pitezel children as well, because they had found the body parts, the teeth and like bone fragments of the little boy and the decomposed bodies of the girls. Oh. And so after he was convicted, he confessed to 27 murders in Chicago, Indianapolis, and Toronto, although some people that he said he killed were actually still alive at the time he confessed to killing them. So I don't know how much he really like did and didn't do, because he's also on top of everything else, probably a pathological liar.
He's probably a pathological liar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say 27, nice even number, but still, no, it's an odd number.
Yeah. Actually, the Hearst newspapers paid Holmes.
Hearst?
Yeah. You know.
William the listener Randolph Hearst,
they
think
they got us. Do they got us? No. Okay.
What's that?
That's from Newsies.
Anyway. Rosebud.
That is a different thing entirely.
No, but it's based on the Hearst.
I don't know. I haven't watched Citizen Kane.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Pitezel Kane.
I thought Rosebud was a sled.
No, spoiler alert. Jesus Christmas.
I've never seen it, and I know that.
Jesus Christmas.
I feel like that's, if you think that's a spoiler alert, that movie's been out for like, I don't know, 100 years.
We're sorry. We got young kids who have some of this.
No, and they're not going to watch Citizen Kane either, because they're going to be like, it's black and white.
I'm going to remake it, but with Pitezel Kane. Okay. What it is. All right, you go. We're close?
We're close.
Right.
We're very close. It's going to be a shorter one because we spent all that
time. That's not going to be a shorter one.
I'm almost done. So the Hearst newspapers apparently paid Holmes $7,500 for his confession, and most of it is probably made up because they paid him money and they were like, here, take this money. So he's like, yeah, I'll give you a good story.
So maybe he made up a story.
Yeah, he made up a lot of things, probably. Some of it might have been true, but...
5 minutes ago, we're like, he's a pathological liar. And now I'm like, well, maybe he made up a story.
Well, I mean, he definitely killed the children and Pitezel, because they have evidence on that.
Right, seems like the type of man who would do anything for money.
He would, and that's the problem. So, he gave many contradictory statements. At one point, he said he was innocent, and he did all these terrible things because he was possessed by Satan. You know, the devil made me do it.
The devil made me do it. Yeah, it's a classic trope.
Always, I was like, yeah, I'm possessed by Satan. Not my fault.
The devil made me eat that cookie.
That devil's food cookie. No? Okay.
No, a devil's food cookie is an edible.
Sure. So he was hanged in Philadelphia at Moyamensing Prison on May 7th, 1896.
That's not one of the famous prisons in Philadelphia.
I don't know if it's still there. It was in 1896.
Eastern State Penitentiary.
I don't know if it was still there. It was a long ass time ago. I don't know if it's still there.
Yeah, 1900.
And his neck did not snap, so he strangled slowly, twitching for over 15 minutes.
This I'm happy about.
And finally pronounced dead 20 minutes after the trap had been sprung.
Only to get back up, well, dust himself off, and sell his organs for money.
No, not quite. But he was, he did have a contingency plan about that, so people wouldn't, like...
He took out life insurance on himself before he died?
No! He requested that his body be buried in 10 feet deep in the ground in cement to deter grave robbers from stealing his body and using it for dissection. And, like, so basically so people couldn't dig up his body and take his organs and sell them on the black market like he was doing with all the people that he killed.
To get through that, all you need is about a day of time and a jackhammer. So let's go.
So the murder castle... was gutted by a fire in August 1895.
No.
When two men were seen entering the building between 8 and 9 p.m., then fleeing half an hour later when several explosions occurred and the building went up in flames.
It's coincidence.
Investigators later found a half-empty gas can underneath the back steps. It was definitely arson. They were trying to blow off the murder castle.
Again with the arson.
The building actually survived the fire and remained in use until 1938 when it was
That I don't like. It's probably haunted.
Well, now it's the site of the Inglewood branch of the U.S. Postal Service.
Cheapest rent. It was all the Postal Service could afford.
It's not the original structure, but the site of it is.
Oh, damn. You hate to see what's happening to our postal system.
Okay, and then apparently also in 2007, sorry, my dog is scratching, trying to dig into the bed because she thinks there's buried treasure in there.
Just a minute, Sammy.
Okay, so in 2017, I guess there were allegations. I don't know who made these allegations. It was not very specific on this.
There's a 125-year leap here.
There was allegations that Holmes had escaped execution and then the body that was buried was not him. So they exhumed the body.
Yeah, conspiracy theories.
To test it by Janet Monge.
How long did it take to exhume?
I don't know exactly, but because his body was encased in cement.
Cement.
His clothes were...
No, concrete. By that time, it was concrete.
Yeah, whatever, sure. Concrete, cement, isn't that the same thing?
Oh, here we go. No, cement.
Oh, God, don't start.
Hardens into concrete. Cement is the wet mixture.
Okay, so wait. Since his body was encased in concrete... God.
No, hold on. Cement is... let me rephrase this. Here we go. Cement... is the substance that you mix with an aggregate.
Are we getting an engineering lesson now?
Gravel, sand, right. So there's a sand would be a fine aggregate, gravel would be a coarse aggregate, and to that you add cement.
Feel free to fast forward through this.
And a little bit of water, and that's where the magic happens.
Okay, well, in the magic happening, because it was in magic, cement, concrete, whatever the hell you want to call it. His clothes were perfectly preserved and his mustache was still intact.
Frozen carbonite.
Sure. The teeth determined that the body was that of H.H. Holmes. And that is the story of H.H. Holmes and the murder castle.
William Holmes.
It's Henry Howard Holmes.
Henry Howard. So it ends hard as a...
Harder.
It ends as hard as it began.
Yeah. I'm trying to see. I want to look up what his son did.
Yeah, this is our segment that we normally do on the show where we Google stuff afterwards.
Well, I didn't write it down because I thought it was already too much.
Not mortgage goods. That's your job.
There were so many other like things going on. I was like, this is too much money.
We have a question about...
Stuff.
What? What's our question about?
I don't know. You have a question?
What are you looking up?
I'm looking up the thing about his son.
Oh, yeah. The H.H. Holmes boy.
Where is it? Clara, blah, blah, blah.
His wife, blah, blah, blah.
That's just stuff about people dying.
Yeah, this whole story was people dying.
Yeah. Oh, here it is. He was the city manager of Orlando, Florida.
The city manager? Hi. My name is...
See, I was close with general manager. It was city manager.
Hi, can I speak to your city manager?
Yeah, it's his son Robert.
Well, today it's a pet gecko on a rock, but tomorrow.
Yeah, his son with his first wife.
Tomorrow, Daryl will be in.
Robert Loverling Mudgett.
Loverling.
He was
Loverling.
Became a certified public accountant and later the city manager of Orlando, Florida.
Or CPA. We did this last time. Loverling.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what I meant. Not general manager. City manager of Orlando, Florida.
Side quest for those of you who don't want to do the mortgage goods thing. What the hell's a city manager?
A city manager?
Does New York have a city manager? Can I speak to your city manager, please?
Also, I'm looking at pictures of people like during this time, and they all look the fucking same.
Well, black and white.
No, but all of the men that have those big mustaches and those little like hats, like those little bowler hats, they all look the same. They all have that. They all have that. I was like, this is H.H. Holmes right here.
Right.
Mustache.
Little.
This is Frank Geyer, the detective.
But he's facing the other way.
And then this is some other guy who looks exactly the same as the other two. And I don't know.
But he has a cat sitting on his face. Oh, that's a mustache.
I don't know. Yeah, it's all the same.
Yeah, it's almost as long as my beard.
So they all look like, if you're like those old like Western movies, like the Great Crane Robbery with them, their mustache is like taking over like a half.
Yeah, picture a man who was like 6 foot, but you squish him down to 5 feet.
It's like, they look kind of like, what's that actor's name? The one with the gray hair and the mustache that like talks really deep.
Oh yeah, Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott. They all look like Sam Elliott.
Like kind of younger. Elliott.
Yeah, they all look like that. Kind of like deep.
The dude walked out of his ranch and bowling ball in hand.
Listen, it's a bowler hat.
But the dude walked out of his ranch, bowler hat in hand.
Yeah, basically like that.
Right, they've got this big caterpillar on their face.
Mm-hmm.
And to make matters worse, black and white. Triple whammy. They're all fat and pudgy and they look the same.
Well, apparently the mustache was preserved very well in that concrete, cement, whatever we want to call it. That big fluffy mustache.
Hair. Yeah, hair doesn't biodegrade. That's why I see all these corpses. Corpses? Corpses?
Well, then, doesn't it become a...
With hair streaming off the back of them.
Like a skull?
Of the skull, yeah.
Well, what about the skin, though? Isn't that hair attached to the skin?
Skin's gone.
Ooh. But then, what is the hair attached to?
From the skin?
Yeah.
Just sits there on the floor of the coffin.
Great! Anyway.
Well, nowadays, everybody's embalmed, so you're...
Or some people now,
You're gonna go in looking the same as...
I had my mother cremated and buried under a tree.
Part of her. Most of her.
Yeah, so that was nice. Because they do have that now. You can get yourself buried and turned into a tree.
It's beautiful.
It's like, I guess...
The ceremony that I saw for that was beautiful.
Yeah. And my mom... It's an apple tree because my mom used to make apple dumplings. Anyway,
Yeah. I wonder if we should go back there and see if, well, you know, not now, but we
not
should
now. Go
back there and see if the tree grew. Probably it did. And if we can pick an apple or two.
You want to pick apples off my mom?
Now we're getting into semantics. I want to eat apples.
That just sounds wrong.
Grown with the spirit
of my mother.
Of your mother.
That's weird. I think maybe like if you ate an apple from that tree, my mother would be inside you.
Only if I ate the seed.
This went in a weird direction.
And H.H. Holmes would like me to eat the seeds because those have a little bit of
cyanide
in them. So that's his part of his M.O.
Yeah. So, like I said, this is, earlier, this is the character of, whatever his name
like
is.
Like we said, this is the murder apple, and
no, this oh. you can if you watch American Horror Story and the hotel season, there's a character that's based on H. Holmes.
Is he same shape and mustachio?
Yeah, Evan Peters plays him. He has a mustache.
Evan Peters. What do we know Evan Peters from?
Lots of things. Like I know mostly from American Horror Story. Now he's on Pose.
Pose. Never heard of it.
You know that. That other Ryan Murphy show.
Oh. ABC? FX?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Pose. Yeah, I've seen it, but I don't know what it is. No clue what it is.
It's like a fat... That's a show about, like, fashion and, like, transgender people. Like, Billy Porter is on it.
Is he?
Yeah.
Huh. Maybe I should watch it.
Yeah. So.
What the hell is that?
Oh, that's my bed... time call.
Well, that's the that means we should
that's the steamer bringing
that's
in
the, telling us that we
the steamer
should,
bringing in all the
and you wanted to do a short episode catch. We're gonna have 40 something minutes here.
That's shorter than I normally are.
I know, right, Sammy?
You mean?
All right, we'll let you guys go.
Yeah. Sorry, this took so long.
Probably no Venmos. What's a mortgage good?
Yeah, tell me what.
What's so bad about mortgage good?
Should I look it up right now? I'm gonna just Google it.
Just look it up right now.
Save you the trouble, and we're gonna end with what mortgage goods
are. Save me the trouble because
mortgaged goods. Meaning, there we go. First thing. A legal agreement that conveys the conditional right of ownership on an asset or property by its owner, the mortgager, to a lender, the mortgagee, as security for a loan. Virtually any legally owned property can be mortgaged, although, what? No, that's a mortgage, though. What's a mortgage good?
Oh, I asked you to explain it and you didn't do a thing. Okay.
I don't know. I'm just going with whatever fucking Google said.
And isn't that dangerous?
There's a novel called Mortgage Goods.
Oh, who's that by? E.L. James.
Several people. Cobb Croft.
Cobb Croft.
Lorraine Cobb Croft. I don't know.
Corn on the Cobb Croft.
What is it? Lorraine Cobb Croft.
All right, buy me the paperback of the of Mortgage Goods and... That'll be good.
Corporate lawyer Natalie DeRio Natta fought hard to escape a sordid past and prove herself when she married the rich and charming Carl Albrecht. She believed she had created her perfect world, but facing trauma, disillusionment, and betrayal forces Natta to confront her demons.
As far as definitions go, this'll be good enough. Okay. All right.
Let's, I'm gonna hit the end here.